Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Robin, in between us is Boulder, Colorado, where as we speak, they are getting ready for the third Republican primary debate of the 2016 presidential election. This one hosted by CNBC with a focus on the economy. We're going to preview that in a few minutes.
Right. But first, what does it mean that the U.S. is escalating its military campaign against ISIS in Iraq and Syria? Defense Secretary Ash Carter outlined the shift before the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday.
We won't hold back from supporting capable partners in opportunistic attacks against ISIL or conducting such missions directly, whether by strikes from the air or direct action on the ground.
Direct action on the ground. Now, that could include more raids like the one that resulted in the death of an American soldier last week. He was advising Kurdish troops during a raid in Iraq. But there have been U.S. troops in Iraq since 2003. What might direct action on the ground look like in Syria, where there are reportedly no U.S. troops, but plenty of rebel groups, jihadists, fighters from Lebanon, and now, of course, Russia airstrikes? Elon Goldenberg is director of the Middle East Security Program at the Center for a New American Security. And Elon, what do you make of this shift? It's been widely interpreted as meaning the U.S. is losing in the battle against ISIS.
Well, I'm not sure I would necessarily say that. I might actually call it a shift in tactics as opposed to a shift in strategy. The overall approach, I think, actually remains the same, which is the United States is doing a couple things. One, we're militarily trying to degrade and eventually defeat ISIS. And two, trying to pick up additional leverage inside Syria, inside Iraq, through support for various groups that eventually you can utilize to try to come to some kind of a political arrangement. I mean, what I think is the Pentagon and the White House have realized is the previous approach, which really focused heavily on training and equipping a different Syrian opposition force from whole cloth, collapsed. But now what they're doing is they're shifting tactics by supporting groups on the ground and specifically starting to support Kurdish groups and some Arab groups near the ISIS capital city of Raqqa in Syria in order to see if they can gain influence through more direct military action for support for groups that exist, as opposed to building something from whole cloth that just seem too difficult.
Well, what does this mean, though? Because we know the U.S. has been supporting groups through airstrikes. But what does direct action on the ground in Syria mean?
I think probably what it would mean in certain cases is putting special operators in with particular groups to help them on particular missions. I don't think the model would be very different from what we saw with support for the Kurds in Iraq last week. The most likely candidates for this would be the Kurds in sort of northeast Syria, what's called the YPG, and also the southern front around the border with Jordan, though the reality is they're doing more fighting with Assad than they are with ISIS. So I think the most likely first candidate would be the Kurds in the northeast.
Well, as you well know, since the 60s, since the Vietnam War era, the phrase U.S. advisors on the ground has been interpreted as slippery slope by many Americans. This idea that as soon as there are some advisors on the ground, pretty soon they become combat troops, they are killed in advisory roles, and the stakes start to get higher and higher. What's your sense of U.S. troops as advisors on the ground in Syria fighting ISIS?
In my view, if you're going to be doing it in Iraq, you might as well be doing it in Syria. We artificially treat this as two separate conflicts because we spent billions of dollars and thousands of lives in Iraq, and we didn't do that in Syria, and therefore we strategically prioritize Iraq based on history. But the reality is this is one conflict at this point happening in two countries where the borders have essentially evaporated. The one thing I would say where this could be, I think, quite different from Vietnam and where I worry less about this slippery slope is that we've had the Iraq experience very fresh in people's minds. We've also have an American public that is not at all interested in a much broader intervention. So that, I think, will be a significant check on going down that slippery slope.
Well, is another difference in Syria, maybe a troubling one, that you have airstrikes from Russia, you have Iran long involved encouraging Hezbollah from Lebanon to go in and fight ISIS fighters. You've got different nationalist groups who want to fight the Assad regime. You've got Al-Qaeda groups fighting the ISIS groups. It's a mess.
Yes, it is complete chaos. And the reality is that the only solution to all this is eventually a political negotiated solution. Civil wars like this one end in one of three ways. An outside power comes in and takes over the entire country and ends the war. Not going to happen in this case. The second is one side wins, seemed highly unlikely. And the third is they come to some kind of a political arrangement. We can try to help. And I think what we're trying to do is build up the right types of groups, trying to convince others like the Iranians and the Russians that they can't win. But this Russian intervention in particular, I think, has probably thrown a lot of new confidence behind the Assad regime and the Iranians, which I think is only going to prolong this. And I think we are probably still a pretty far away off from all the parties coming to that recognition that it's time to end it.
Elon Goldenberg, director of the Middle East Security Program at the Center for a New American Security. Elon, thank you.
Thank you.